I'm calling to order the Oceano Community Service District's November 11, 2009 Board of Directors meeting. Roll call, please.
President Mann.
Here.
Vice President Hill.
Here.
Director Dahl. Director Dean.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Please stand and join me in the flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment? Any public comment? If not, seeing none, we'll continue. Board member items for discussion. I just wanted to say, today being Veterans Day, I hope we've all taken time out of our day to remember what so many have given to protect our country and to protect us. Pamela?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the same thing. I want to thank all of those, both that have been in uniform and that are in uniform now, both men and women who have laid down their lives in many cases to allow us to have what we have here in this country. I thank you very much.
Jim?
I'll echo that sentiment.
Mary?
Ditto. I agree as well. But I had a couple of questions about the agenda.
Okay.
So I guess it would come under this item right here. Make sure I... Well, good evening to all the directors. There was a couple things I wanted to follow up with from the last meeting, which should probably fall under the water and sewer report, and correct me if it's someplace nested in there, is that we had extensive presentations regarding the well status and the quality of the groundwater and what was happening there, and I didn't see that on the agenda. I think it's really important for Oceano to stay on top of that. And then I see that there's a notice from the Santa Maria groundwater group, for lack of the proper name of it. But so we'll probably address that. And then also, too, is I think it's really important, was put in on the Briscoe pipeline, and they were supposed to test it to see if we were pumping at 100%.
I would look under old business, water supply. I think that the general manager, if there's anything to change on that in this letter that we received tonight, is going from the four jurisdictions.
Yes, so
Pismo Beach, Aurora, Granite, Grover Beach, and then this needs to be changed because I would be signing this too as the president of OCSD.
Okay, so that addresses the Santa Maria ground people.
The groundwater,
right.
The saltwater intrusion. That's all in this, and we will talk
okay.
about it, but it was just on the desk when we came in.
Okay, and then also to a report and to see if our pipeline, that we're pumping at 100%.
We can certainly ask the general manager, and he should be able to tell us when we come to that section.
Thank you.
Anything else? Tonight, we are going to go into closed session, and we will do that at 8:30. If we haven't reached that on our own, just bring that up ahead of time. The sheriff's office is not here tonight. It's a holiday. Oh, excuse me. Approval, review and approval of the minutes. Raphael?
Honorable Chairman, I would ask that we defer the minutes till next meeting because there was some difficulty in preparing them.
All right. Thank you. That would probably be where you would have seen what went on last meeting in detail.
I was here.
I know, but it would be in the minutes, but we don't have the minutes.
I don't think you understood my question.
Your question is, why don't we have it on the agenda again? Did you direct them to bring it back this next time?
It was an action item. It should have stayed on the agenda. It was to be reported back this month.
Okay. Unfortunately, I wasn't here.
Correct. So that's why I'm saying maybe you didn't understand my question.
No, I didn't. Okay, thank you. So we will postpone the minutes until the next time that this group is together.
Thank you.
And as I said, the sheriff's office is not here today. It's a holiday for them, and I guess there was nothing urgent that they needed to talk to us about because they're low on manpower, too, and trying to watch their costs, so they're not here tonight. I see that we have Captain Angelo here tonight.
Yes. This puts us at the end of October at 672 calls, slightly ahead of what we were last year, 41 calls ahead of what we were last year. We were at 631 last year at that time. Just a reminder on that point, though, last year seemed to be a low year, so this, I don't want it to make anyone be overly alarmed. Last year was kind of a low call volume for us, so this is more in the norm, just so there's clarification on why we have this jump. As far as joint training, all three departments, Scrubber Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano, we work together on building construction, fire ground hydraulics, which was more for the operators of the engines, water hydraulics, and understanding how to get to the right pressure quick enough to where the firefighter has the water when he needs it. And then also we worked on hazardous material incidents and identifying hazardous material and what to do as far as our scope of practice is. We had an opportunity to also do some training and do a head-to-head with extrication tools, more commonly known as Jaws of Life type tools. In between two companies, probably the two biggest companies that produce them, and we were able to use both tools throughout the day, cutting up a few cars and seeing what's going to work best for all three departments for future purchases. We are looking at purchasing a smaller set in the near future with the in-lieu fees they were received from the county through the state, however you want to say that works. And I think the committee that was assigned to that came to a conclusion and found a predominant manufacturer for what this area needs.
Even though that money was awarded to us, we're picking something that the other two agencies, the three of you, agree on. Is that correct?
Yeah. All of our purchases go through, depending on what they are, if it's rescue-related, it'll go through the rescue committee and a joint purchasing committee, which you have members of each department sitting on. We'll go through. We do tests. We discuss it. Everyone writes out pros and cons, and we submit a recommendation to the chiefs.
From the board for Captain Angelo?
No.
Any questions from the public? Seeing none, thank you very much. The fire item, the update regarding the exhaust removal system, I don't think there's anything new on that, or is there? Would you like to, which one of you are going to take that one? Is the contract been let?
I can tell you what I know. It is installed. It's in use. It's very nice. We're very excited to have it. They finished the install a week ago tomorrow.
Yes, last Thursday.
Okay.
And they ran tests, did some instructing on it, on how to use it, which most of us already knew how to use it because Grover Beach has the same system. So, yeah, if you walk into the apparatus bay, you'll see big yellow hoses and pipes in the ceiling.
In the ceiling.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm certainly glad that that finally is finished. That project has gone on for several years.
Oh, yeah.
So that's great that we finished that. Any comments from the board on that?
And that exhaust system was grant money. We got
yes.
that with grant money.
Was it all grant or part? We had
a
match.
A 5% matching or a 10%? I'm not sure which.
6,500
is what our portion was, which is pretty low.
And which was a budget amount, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from the public on the exhaust system? Not moving on to the utility item. Once again, We need to approve the continuing emergency for the, what are you looking at me?
Honorable Chairman, we were wondering, item 7 was the consideration of the warrants.
I'm sorry. We'll do that. Let's just take care of the utility item.
The utility staff would ask that we continue action?
Yes. The continuing action.
Yes.
Because of the earthquake, we have to renew that at every regular board meeting. Is there any comments from the board about that? Looking for a motion, please.
Do you want to take comments from the public?
Any public comment on that? I didn't have the exact words with it because I happened to be missing that one little piece of the agenda in my packet. But no excuse for that. I should know it by heart by now. Now we'll go back to the consideration of the warrants. It's been asked that we move them further or move them higher up on the agenda. So that we're not so tired and there can be plenty of discussion on any items that anyone has a question about. I know we didn't get those until this evening. Have you had enough time to look at them? Mary, have you?
No, I haven't. I received them at about 4:45.
Okay.
You know, so I haven't had a chance to look at them. But also, too, is that I still think we're kind of missing a piece as to cross-referencing. There's no way to cross-reference. I see that we have somewhat of a justification in the back, but really not a justification in the back. So it's still kind of puzzling to me that, you know, I know that we're rectifying factual invoice numbers and check numbers and that's coming together, but there's still no way of cross-referencing these checks when they're up for signature.
So what, if I understand correctly, what you feel you want to look at is the backup for each check?
An invoice.
That's the backup for each check.
Yeah. You know, some is kind of, do I want to get 10 pages of justification? No, I don't.
But when you're saying
that, when I want to, but it's hard for me to approve, say, you know.
Do you have them, Gina?
A check for $400 when there's no way.
Okay.
I can only just go by the list.
He's got them. They did bring them. That is the backup for each and every check.
Okay.
Director Lucy, if you would like, I'll bring this over. I have, for the entire $16,169.72 of warrants, they're paper-clipped, the warrant number, the amount, and behind it is, like, for example, the actual bill that we received, when we received it, it's time-stamped, the amount. You're welcome to look at all of them. And you'll see that on this,
as the president, we need to figure out some checks and balance and how we can.
Well, as a board, I think we could decide, do we want staff to make a copy of every invoice and attach it to this warrant package for you to look at it, or do we want them to bring the packet? And I'm hopeful that in the future, the general manager will be able to see that we received the warrants a little timelier, and we could come in a little early to look at any that we were interested in. Or do you want your own individual copies? That's what the board's got to decide.
Well, and the other option might be, as we did at the last meeting, Vern and I went through every one of the invoices and matched them to the checks before we signed the checks. So we were sure that we were signing for the correct invoice amount before we signed it.
Okay, those are the three options. We can decide which one we want to do. And I will tell you that I did sign maybe 6 checks ahead of time. Those were the prepaids that have to be paid on the first part of the month. And I did sign those.
Director Dean, in regard to your comment, this list here, for example, you know, we prepared it late because we're still in the process of training staff, but we will prepare them sooner. I went through and I checked, you can see the mark on each one, and the checks have one signature on the bottom, which is mine, and what I did was I looked at the amount of the check, the amount on the warrant, and the bill to each one. You can see the how it all came together.
And I would trust our general manager to be doing that.
Yes.
That's kind of your job.
That regardless of, you know, what the board would like. But what I'm saying is if you want me to share that with you, just let me know for the next meeting. I'll have it before so you can line it all up.
Yeah, we could come in a little early if we wanted to look at them. Yeah.
How do you, what do you think, Jim?
For my part, I'm delighted to see that the general manager has done that. I think to avoid duplication costs, the summaries that we get with the packet is adequate for my needs, as long as the general manager has the backup material available. I don't have any problem with that, and I think it would save pretty dramatically on duplication costs.
Yes.
So I'm more than happy to have this material with the general manager.
You see to the side of your paperwork is the number that when you sign the checks later this evening, look, you'll find on the lower left-hand part of the check per, that was Director Lucy's desire the last time she was in my office. She wanted to see that. I says, no problem.
Or the top of the check. It's also on the top left-hand corner.
Yes, it's also on the top left-hand corner as well. The reason we were referring to the bottom is because that's the order in which the bank clears it.
I understand.
So, and that was how she wanted to see them, and that's how we're presenting them. If the rest of the board would like to see something else or additions or corrections, just let us know. The staff is here to help.
And I noticed that there were a couple, or there was a couple maybe missing numbers because you had a hiccup in the system. Suddenly it didn't print or it printed.
We had trouble with the actual
line, which
ribbon.
That's going to happen.
We had trouble with the actual ribbon itself. It's an old IBM cartridge. You put it in there and sometimes it just doesn't print where you'd like it to.
So that was why. Otherwise, the numbers would have been correct right in there.
And actually, the ones that are dated the 30th do have control numbers on. We had a clean run.
Yeah, good. And those control numbers are the check numbers, correct?
Yes.
We'll have to get out of the habit of calling them control numbers and calling them check numbers, perhaps.
So on the summary that's dated 10/16/09, the numbers that are handwritten on the right-hand side of the page are the actual bank check numbers.
Yes, sir.
And same for the one dated 10/30/09. Then on 11/6/09, there is written on the right-hand side of the page, handwritten, where it says control number. Is that also the bank?
As Director Mann just said, we're going to have to get in the habit of referring to the control number and the check number as the same.
Okay.
But
so
yes,
that is the bank check.
If we look at
number.
The check, it'll be on there in two places, in the lower left-hand corner and in the top part of the receipt of the check.
Very good. And then on the summary that's dated today, the numbers, I presume, then on that printout are the same.
Today, the system worked well. You know, we're improving it each time we use it, and it didn't stop from when we started, so each control number, each check number, they all match.
Excellent.
Were there any big items on here that anybody was interested in, checks that were written, that you want some explanation on?
Yeah, I just have a couple questions for a month. And so is there a cap on how much a director can make each time? I know there's
$600.
So can they bank? Can they say, for example, you have a director who holds a special meeting every single week, maybe two times a week? And is that banked?
No.
So they can draw down their $600?
No. $600 is the maximum in any one month.
Let me ask her the questions.
Well, I know the answers too on that.
But I'm addressing my question to Gina.
Certainly.
Okay, so say, for example, a director goes over in meetings, right?
Right.
are those volunteer meetings at that point, the abunder, or do we carry them forward, or?
No, they have to be, it's only for a one-month period, and if you go back and look at some of the older warrants where that has occurred, all the meetings are listed, and below the ones that were beyond the $600, it says less, because it exceeded the maximum at that point. It shows as a deduction out of the total. So the net check will never be more than $600.
And Mary, I might add, it can't be more than $100 in one day. So if you had a committee meeting and a board meeting on the same day, you would not get $150, you would only get $100.
That's a good example.
The reason why I ask you is that there's a lot of ad hoc meetings going on right now, and so I want to know how that fiscally impacts us.
It's, you know,
I mean, it's
itemized.
Like there are a lot of them, and right. So I'm thinking, are these, is this a, one, is this a, excuse my French, is this a fundraiser, you know, or are these really needed meetings, you know, and are they costing the people of Oceano more money?
All I do is make the warrant based on the number of meetings that were attended by each director. That's my only part in this. I don't determine if they're legitimate meetings or anything. That's all I'm doing is paying them for what people actually attended.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one question, Gina, and it might have been to something Mary referred to. When a director, we had underpaid, I believe, the director $50.
Amount.
So the one that we had said we would watch for to see that this month would be $50 less, we don't have to watch for that because he turned the whole check back in and she corrected it.
So he turned two checks back in.
Right.
And what was the total amount for those two checks?
It's listed as $1,100. One was $500 and one $600.
Right here in the front.
One was $500 and one was $600. And then so he turned those checks back in.
Right.
For how much? For a check in the amount of what? How much?
$1,000 instead of
$1,100. Oh. So where did the other $100 go?
I listed.
Went back.
He was overpaid. One in the month of August and one in the month of September. So he brought both checks, and there was a $50 overpayment in each. He was listed as having a report on a meeting. We assumed that it had been held. It had been canceled, and staff didn't know.
Mm-hmm. See, there they are,
yeah.
Both of those. That should have been $450. That should have been $550.
In Director Hill, I've also tried to list the voided warrants now using the control number rather as the real check number.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the replacement check to Director Dahl, though. Is that in here?
You know, and I wondered about that when we were talking about the two that were voided, because it was a hand-type check, and I will certainly look and see if it was on the last register. If it wasn't, we'll add it to the next one.
So the check that the director agreed to hold on to for a while,
hold on to anything. So I'm.
I was just sitting right next to him,
okay.
So I actually did hear word for word.
Okay.
I mean, I can't help it. I'm human. You know, I got ears. You know, so the agreement was is that he would hold on to that check, and it was put into his back pocket. So is that check now one of these voided checks, or it's I'm confused on where the check went. Yeah.
You've got two right here that were voided.
Okay. And the one that
he must have had them. One I handed to him that night. The other was from the prior month. And he brought them both in.
Do you have anybody have any other questions about any of the warrants?
Yes, the biggest check that we sent to the County of San Luis Obispo. Would you explain what that is? It was for $600,000.
And I did sign that one right away.
I thought you were talking about the one for $4,900.
No,
wasn't
no,
big.
No.
The $600,000 was a transfer of funds from our Rabobank checking account, which does not earn any interest, to our fund in the county.
Okay.
Where it will earn interest.
I didn't think we had any checking accounts that didn't earn interest, except for the one at the county. I thought that was the directive of the board to move the money because it was in accounts that weren't interest-bearing, and that they felt that that was just a waste. I mean,
insured, was it?
Pardon me? It's insured, yeah.
No, that was, wasn't
the
about
sweep
the insurance.
Account.
It
the
was
sweep
about
account.
Interest.
No, I'm sorry, I was answering for the man. That's right. When we, as soon as we knew that there was that amount of money in there, we moved it out of the non-interest-bearing account to the county.
The county doesn't have interest-bearing either, I don't think, on their account.
Yes, they do.
Okay,
it's reported on the quarterly statement.
Okay, so I can go to some quarterly statement and see how much interest that they're producing, but I don't know. I don't have a current quarterly statement, so I apologize. Are there?
Yeah.
They're available in the front office?
Sure.
Okay.
It's the regular checking account that doesn't give us interest.
Right. I just can't remember the county having an interest-bearing account.
Is it called AL or LAIF? Is that
what one's that? That's the state.
The state one has interest too, right?
Mm-hmm.
State and county.
Naturally, the county is almost equal with LAIF. It's easier to keep it local.
Yeah. Because when the state paid more, we put more in with the state in the interest. Any other questions about the warrants? Jim, you got any? See, you got a few notes.
My note is that we issued a typewritten check. And that'll show up on the next warrants.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You have any more questions, Mary?
No.
Okay, any questions from the public regarding the warrants? Seeing none, all those in favor of paying the warrants?
Split on 16th Street, and basically we're just providing a will serve letter. Number two is like a combination of a fee or a bill and a will serve letter, and it's going to the church, and basically it shows exactly, we put it together with Phil's help, that some of the fees have already been paid, so the only thing that's left is 40%. So what's on the letter is what they need for us to provide the services, and it's a combination of a will serve letter and a fee letter. And last but not least, number three, the Newburgh one, is basically we're saying that we will approve. It's a fee-for-service letter, but it has to be approved with a fire sprinkling system. It's a part of that new construction situation that, given the size of the structure and so on and so forth. So what we're saying is, okay, if you implement the fire sprinkler so that it's up to code, then we'll approve it. And with the board's permission, I'll myself and Phil will sign one of those. We'll sign them tomorrow and send them off.
Any questions or discussions from the board?
I had a question on the church application.
On the church one? Okay.
And it looks wonderful. I think it will be a wonderful asset to the community. So I love to see what's going to be down at 17th and Beach Street very shortly.
The illustrations show, especially the side views, you know, they're very attractive.
It's a very, very nice church. And I love the little church. I had a question about fire hydrants on this. Do you know if this requires a new hydrant, or is that a fill question?
There's
a hydrant right
there. Okay. We believe that the existing hydrant, you know, will be sufficient at this point.
Okay. And they will be charged with putting in curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, I presume, since it is a county kind of thing.
Penny, you may notice that we changed the wording at the bottom of the will serve letter now.
Yeah, I see where it is.
So that's more clear.
Yes.
Okay. We can look into it and report at the next meeting, but I couldn't tell from the diagram either.
There is a light on one of the corners, and Phil was thinking that it's actually on the church's corner.
Uh-huh.
If it's not, it's on the
market
northwest
side.
Corner,
okay.
Where the little liquor store
okay.
is.
Oh, okay. But they've got parking lot that will be in the dark if they don't install that. And then on the connection charges, again, I'd like to see it say capacity charge and then in parenthesis state water project charge and then additional connection fees, the Lopez project charge. It's kind of almost there.
I know we modified it a little
I know
bit.
You did.
I'm sorry.
I know you did.
Which one do you want? It's the state water project?
It's called a capacity charge in our codes, okay. and it's the state water project charge. Then additional connection fees are the Lopez project charges. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that people are working on new housing, new residences, and so forth.
And there's really good news. The People's Self-Housing Project at 15th and Paso Robles, they've had their initial meeting. They got their hydrant meter. They started to level the ground, so that will be going through really quick now.
Excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pleased.
Are there any comments from the public on any of these? Seeing none, staff understands what needs to be changed or corrected on these?
It's a clarification of a fee. We're,
okay.
Gina took the notes and we'll adjust the letter before we send it out.
Yeah, and that's just a consensus of the board. It's not a vote, right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Item 10, the staff would like to speak in regard to the audit. This past Monday, for the first time, I actually spoke with the auditor himself, and we spoke it for quite a while. He's in his office. I asked him if there was absolutely anything else that he needed to conduct the audit, and he said that while in a piece of information or whatever it is, please call me, send me an email. Let me know as soon as you realize, and I will get it ready as soon as I can, and I'll actually bring it down there. The last time, the stuff that he's working on now, the last items, I delivered them in person. And he told me he would. So that concludes my report. I haven't been asked for anything. I've offered to hand deliver it, and I've been told that with what he presently has, he is working on the draft.
Thank you. Any comments from the board? Questions? Any comments from the audience, the public? Seeing none?
I'll just state that corresponds with my communication with the auditor.
I figured if it was something different,
yes,
you would have
That corresponds with my communication with the auditor.
10B, codification. I ask that this be put on a discussion regarding the status of the codification. As Mary mentioned when I reviewed the last meeting, she mentioned the amount of money that we spent on codification. And I believe where we left the codification was we did not go ahead and approve the codification as given to us. We then said, well, we're going to divide it up and look at the parts among the members of the board. And I believe the fire is done. I don't know if any of the others are. I think, Jim, you were sewer, or you were water with Pamela, and Mary, you were sewer with Pamela to go over the codification. And, you know, here we are at the end of the year practically with the busy schedules. Are you folks going to be able to work on any of this before the end of the year, or do we want to just say working on the codification on those two groups is postponed until January. What is your pleasure?
Well, Pamela and I have had one meeting so far, and that's kind of, we haven't been able to meet since that one meeting. I think we have some things that we wanted to do, such as come up with better definitions of terms to start with, and we've yet to get back together. So we can discuss.
Goal is to get those things finished this next year. Until the end of December, however, my schedule is really, really rough. I don't want to leave the department. I want to leave them in good shape as best I can. So I'm thinking maybe we just hit it really hard starting in January, and I can devote a lot of time, excess time, to working up those things, because this is not going to be a simple process. There is a lot that we have left undone, and we're not going to also reinvent the wheel. We've looked at NIPOMO's codes, and they've kind of got everything squared away, so we were going to kind of use those as a matrix for what we could use and not have to reinvent everything. So I'm hoping to, next year is my codification year. It's also my streetlight year. There's a lot I can put effort into, whereas it's just been very, very difficult to have a huge job, do building projects on the weekend, and the OCSD takes a lot of time, as everybody knows that sits here. It takes a lot of effort, and this codification is going to even take more. So that's what my plan is. I think I can put a lot of effort into it next year, and we can complete it.
And the sewer, I believe, is Mary and Pamela also.
Yeah.
Have you guys met?
Yes, we did meet once, and then, being on the Water and Sewer Committee, I guess I was somewhat a little confused, because then there was this self-appointed ad hoc committee that took over the role of Water and Sewer and undermined the recommendations of the Water and Sewer. Meanwhile, this codification's going on, and I couldn't quite figure out how the Water and Sewer Committee fit into this ad hoc committee kind of poo-pooing whatever recommendations came out of Water and Sewer. So, the co-chairs of the Water and Sewer said, I'm just going to sit back and see what the ad hoc committee comes as recommendations from the committee that we're supposed to be chairing. And because ad hoc was meeting like nightly almost, and so I thought, well, why should we continue to meet, spend taxpayers of the Water and Sewer? So I thought, well, instead of continually wasting the taxpayers' money, right, on these meetings, I'm going to sit back and see what's going to happen. Now, I'm only too happy to work on codification. What I'm not too happy about doing is duplication. So you have the Water and Sewer Committee, the Codification Committee, and the Ad Hoc Committee. And not to mention, is it left a really sour taste in my mouth when over $50,000 was spent on codification and it never came to this board for approval. And now that, to me, wasn't above board. It was very, very unsettling to me that much money was spent through contractors that are on staff, not on staff, but work with staff and stuff, were utilized, and it was a big surprise to a lot of us when we saw legal counsel's hours of what had been spent on codification. So at this point, I don't know what's up, I don't know what's down, I don't know who's leading, who's following, so I'm just going to sit back. And the minute ad hoc gives us our marching orders, then Water and Sewer will go back to meeting.
And I'd like to answer that because okay. I am on the ad hoc committee, and we are not usurping anything relating to water and sewer. That has been given over to water and sewer.
The last meeting, there was a recommendation that was brought.
One person at a time.
So you'll hear my report in the reports of the committee meetings, and this is the first time I've had a chance to report because we closed down our last meeting quite early, so I didn't get to respond to some of those. So I will report what we're talking about and what's coming up, and there are a lot of ideas that we're coming up with in this ad hoc committee, and we hope to make a list of fees for you and give you a findings and a recommendation on those fees, but they do not relate to your water and sewer.
Well, the recommendations regarding the ordinance at the last meeting that was brought forth was related to water and sewer.
Mm-hmm. At the time, we kind of set the codification. Is that how you remember it, Jim, or what do you have to add to this conversation?
I think that's your characterization is... As I recall, I think the codification effort that's gone on to date has provided a useful baseline and got together. We did have a kind of an omnibus ordinance that was passed a couple of years ago, which collected many old water and sewer ordinances together in one place. And prior to that, we'd had a stuff going back to 1981, and we had notes in somebody's back pocket and stuff on a shelf over in some other building, and it was very difficult to figure out what the basis was for any of our fees and charges. And I think the one ordinance that collected that together and the codification effort that has gone on to date has been useful in getting it all out to where it's more understandable and gives us a basis. I agree with Director Dean that I don't think it's a final product as yet, but I think it can be with a bit of time. I think we're well ahead of the game having that unifying ordinance in place, and with some effort going into the codification that's work that's gone on to date, I think we'll come up with something that'll be useful, understandable to the public, transparent in terms of how our business is run, and that the people in the community will understand what the basis for the charges is, why we do it that way, and that we can justify the costs and the fees. So that's something that's been a goal of the board, I think, for quite some time.
Many years.
for many years, and it's finally coming to pass. And yeah. I sympathize with those in that are listening tonight that it takes a long time, but I think the result will be superior to what we've had in the past by orders of magnitude.
Thank you. Any more comments from the board? Any more comments from the public?
Lynn Hill, Oceano. I just have to.
If not, moving on to old business, Raphael.
I was going to speak on number four in regard to Director Lucy had some questions about the water supply. Phil reported last week that they had run a test, and I don't know the exact terminology, but he said that there was like what was called a clay valve that somehow, you know, changes the, and that was removed. And then basically the way I understood it in layperson's terms, they put in a straight pipe so that the water level doesn't go up into the clay valve and come down. And they were very, very pleased as to how much more water was going through. Now, they've tested it, they intend to test it again, and they spoke about it in the gentleman's agreement with Grover and the other communities. So that I know that the water supply is like substantially more than they thought it was as a result of changing this clay valve.
And that relates to the water supply from Lopez and the state project.
Yes, that relates to the water.
Bristol turnout.
That relates to the water that we can get into our system.
So, may I ask that you go back to the water director, right, Phil, right, and because John Wallace said that they had just moved this gasket, and they suspected that they would finally Oceana would be able to pump at 100%. We do not pump 100% of what we buy in water. And so John said, you know, I'm just waiting for the final report, but I suspect that we're going to be able to pump 100%, which would be the first time in the history of the town, unless it was groundwater. I mean, of course, you could pump 100% of that. So I'd just like a clear answer on that, because if we're looking at drought buffer programs and all that stuff, we have to know how much we can pump off that trunk. And usually it's been, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, 76% of what we purchase we can usually pump.
We don't.
You know.
Amount of water that we receive delivered from either Lopez or the State Water Project. I probably would not use the term pumping for that water, but no, we've been unable to receive our full allotment of state water due to the restriction in the piping system to date.
So if we could just get like an answer, like where we are in that. That's why I was so surprised when it wasn't on the agenda, because it was such, it's important.
I'll make sure, because I don't want to give information if I'm not positive. The way I understand it, both things have improved. Two things. One, what they referred to as the pigging of the pipe, or, quote, cleaning it out, and that increased capacity. Now, the latest, as I said earlier without being repetitious, they've changed a clay valve, and now the pumping is even greater. But I don't know for sure if it's at 100%. But what I'll do is I'll find out real soon. I'm sure that both Phil and John Wallace know, and I'll be sure that I either get the information to you, or I'll have Phil or John write it up and send it to you.
Thank you, sir.
I think when we're talking about pumping, the amount of water that we're paying the state for, we don't get all that, even if we can. We will perhaps be able to pump all that they give us of our allocation, but we won't be pumping all that we're paying for. You understand what I'm talking about, Mary?
Well, I understand that terminology. It doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, I don't know why. I would never sign into an agreement that I couldn't access 100% of. But maybe, you know, maybe somebody could explain at some point, you know, why we are paying for this 100% of a certain amount of water and we're not able to access it. Maybe. You know, I know that the state cuts debt back on their allotments and how much they allocate and stuff like that. I just want to know whether you call it wheeled in, trucked in, you know, spilled in, whatever the terminology is used. I just want to know how much we're capacity
in the plant. So there's two components of the charge. One is the actual water, the water itself, and the other one is all the infrastructure costs. And the infrastructure costs have to be paid regardless.
Right, and I'm only concerned in the pipe, the Briscoe turnout. That's all I'm concerned with. I'm not concerned with we only got 40% of our allocation or this or that. I don't care about that stuff right now. What I care about is do we have the ability to bring the water in that we paid for? And Mr. Wallace assured us that we would have a report on that. And so that's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, I'd certainly defer to him, but when each of the various agencies contracted for state water, the whole point of doing it and having to contract early on was so that they could size the lines sufficiently large to be able to deliver 100% of what you contracted for. So if it's not sized adequately to do that, somebody made a mistake someplace and didn't carry a decimal point or something.
That, which has been very, very costly to Oceano.
That's possible. I think it's highly unlikely that that's the case, but theoretically, yes, I agree with you. That would be the issue.
Well, perhaps the at the time those contracts were made, I think our contract available amount, and assuming that the state was able to deliver their full allotment, is 750 acre feet of state water and 303 acre feet of Lopez water, which is 1,053 acre feet in total. And at the time that was contracted for, the district in a typical year didn't use that much amount, and it's possible that the restriction at the Briscoe turnout at the time was, they thought that could be remedied later on, and apparently from the general manager's report that is the case, that much of that has been remedied, and there's probably other ways that the water could be provided, but it appears based on that report that we would be able to get most, if not all, of our capacity, which we haven't been able to receive so far. But typically the district uses 900 or 950 acre feet in a pretty well going on. I know we got the additional funding lined up from the state through the county, and hopefully
we've received the funding, and they've extended the time for which we have to use it, and Phil's on top of it, and they're working on it.
Good.
That was reported last meeting, I think. Okay, new business, board meeting schedule for November and December. Generally in the past, we have not met, sometimes we've met the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and sometimes we haven't, and we have, as much as the years I've been on the board or even know about, they've never met the second meeting in December. So what is your pleasure for the November, and what is your pleasure for December? Mary?
I won't be available at the end of November.
Okay. Jim?
Neither will I.
And Pamela's not? So.
Sounds like I would ask the staff, first of all, if what the
There's
business.
A letter, Director Hill. I thought that it was passed out, and it's and basically the letter
the
says
sheet.
That the regularly scheduled board meetings for November 25th and December 23rd conflict with the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday periods. In the past, workload permitting, and that's the key, workload permitting, anything that has to be done, we will get done. These meetings have been canceled. Current district workload should accommodate having only one board meeting in the November and December of this year. The recommendation action before your board is to, by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, cancel the regularly scheduled meetings of the Board of Directors on November 25th, 2009, and December 23rd, 2009. This is a letter that I've drafted.
It was here, and that was
I
brought up.
Whatever the board's pleasure, just instruct us, and we'll.
I appreciate that, I support staff's position, especially considering that the directors won't be available.
Okay, we need a motion, or is there any more public comment on canceling these 2 days? Any more board? If not. Looking for a motion?
I would move that we adopt staff's recommendation and cancel the regularly scheduled meetings on November 25th and December 23rd, 2009.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. None. So it's 401 being absent.
I'm sorry, who was the second on that, please?
Oh. Were you, Mary, were you the second on that one?
Sure.
I would just do this on my own. Just go check them out, take pictures of them. And some of the areas of concern I'd like to look at is I'd like to view those in the dark when it's dark. I'd like to view them in the light and take pictures. I'd like to look at areas in this community that are very dark and people have to walk on uneven pavement. We have no sidewalks and things like that. I'd like to look at lower energy costs, perhaps using solar or new types of bulbs. So these are the kinds of things. I'd like to look at subdivision streetlights also. And perhaps there could be a streetlight fund where if a developer doesn't want to put in the streetlight, he would buy in or put a money aside to purchase streetlights in areas where we need to have them. And finally, I think I love our antique streetlights. I think those are, you know, a part of our community, and I don't know if we can match those with new ones or anything like that, but I think that should be something we kind of try to carry on throughout the community. I know we've got all kinds of them right now. We've got PG&E has come up with new kinds. We have them on poles. We have them all different kinds, but I really think it says something about our community, and I love our antique streetlights. The only thing is maybe their bulbs need to be changed or made different so that they're energy efficient too, and I don't know if that can be done. So there are some things to look at. Those are the things I'd like to look at as far as street lighting, and I would welcome any other suggestions.
If I might, Bill is looking for another source for the antique streetlights. The initial poles that we got were removed from a city in LA mm-hmm. when they upgraded. When we lost this last one on the corner of Highway 1, the vendor happened to be here because he was installing the new ones in Old One's parking lot. Those are not the same. They're an artificial pole mm-hmm. by comparison. And the owner of the business is now trying to fabricate something with metal and then putting concrete over it. But it's harder to find the source right now, but he is trying to find more for you.
Okay.
I know they have a lot of those. Thank you.
Yeah, I won't even ask you which insurance at this point.
Which director?
No, which insurance?
No, oh, under the GM's items?
No, under director's comments at the end.
So which director's going to comment?
You can start the discussion.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, you can ask the question.
Well, maybe the GM can just pick it up on there. How's that?
As long as there's no action required. Correct, Alex?
I just want a status
as far
report.
As it goes, but you cannot pursue items moving towards an action plan that are not otherwise on the agenda. You can use these discussion topics that are on the agenda to report on meetings and other issues and things that have happened, but a broad-ranging discussion that moves towards a consensus of the board and an action item, even though you might not take the action item tonight, would not be appropriate.
So I think we have to, if just using insurance as an example, if something changes in our insurance, the kind we buy or don't buy, or if there's any changes, we would have to rely on the general manager to put that on the agenda, because you wouldn't know to ask to put it on. I wouldn't know. Jim wouldn't know, Pamela
right.
wouldn't know, nobody would know, so we have to rely on the general manager to bring those kind of things to our attention if there's a change in
something we need to know about. So if our insurance was at risk of being canceled, or if we had gotten a cancellation notice from an insurance company, it certainly would be brought to the board in enough time where we could comply within the law and secure insurance, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would we have to hope that, we know that a general manager would put that on the agenda to tell us what was happening on that. Does that answer your question as much as I can? Because I don't know what you're talking about, really. All right, that brings us to report of district representatives. I'll start out. Fire committee meetings were canceled. I'll let Jim talk about the finance committee. Every single one of them is there. And Paul Hood, who had been the executive director for LAFCO for many, many years, since LAFCO came to our county, was in our county, has retired. And he received two really, really great awards. And so we were very, very proud of him. He received the Mike Gotch Courage and Innovation in Local Government Awards. He's the first recipient of this award, which honors the contributions and memory of former Assemblyman and LAFCO Executive Officer Mike Gotch. It's awarded to a person who shows the courage and creativity to make meaningful changes in local government. Paul had been with LAFCO for over 30 years. He started out when the county was the one that was running LAFCO, and then when we separated from the county, he continued to be the executive director. Our LAFCO was one of the first LAFCOs to, 5 or 6 years ago, to finish all of the sphere of influence examinations that they have to do, and we received an award for that. Paul received an award for that when that was done. He's going to be sorely missed by not only the people that serve on LAFCO, but I think the entire county is going to miss his judgment and his guidance and all of the things that he was able to do and to help the individual agencies. And he's been replaced by David Church, who's been the assistant executive officer for probably 5 years. And so now he was selected to fill Paul's very big shoes. And so that's all I have to talk about. Jim?
I would congratulate Paul Hood on his retirement and wish him very well. He's given exemplary service to the citizens of the county of San Luis Obispo. Hopefully that David Church will be able to carry on in the same fashion. So I think Paul set a great example for leadership there. I did attend the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District meetings on not to expand the capacity of the plant, but it's rather to have a parallel process such that the existing systems can be taken out of service for repair and maintenance without jeopardizing the possibility of being fined for noncompliance. So we have negotiated and I believe come to an understanding with the county that I think there was a minor use permit or something that was in place for part of this project, and they're just going to kind of envelop the whole thing in that so that there's no additional fees or anything would have to be paid to the county. They have the new centrifuge building design. We approved progress payment number 1 to Matrix Consulting Engineers. That was a $7,000 payment. That program is ongoing. The energy service project, this is the cogeneration that will have approximately somewhere between 80% and 90% of the plant's electrical needs will be met from in-house cogeneration. That project. We've approved a project payment on that. That project should be ready to start up very soon. And authorized purchase of an office copier for close to $7,000. That was the Wednesday, October 21 meeting. The Wednesday, November 4th meeting, we had a conference with the labor negotiator that is ongoing. There was a discussion of employee compensation class adjustments. I pointed out that our own staff at OCSD had no adjustment to compensation this year, and that I wouldn't be able to support that either. We had a discussion of the design and construction for splitter box refurbishment. This is part of the Influent system at the plant, major budget item in the district's budget for Influent pumps. Methane gas piping replacement, another major budget item, progress payment number two in the amount of $46,000 because the existing gas piping was deteriorated. And we had the first quarter financial review and a 10-year financial projection. So they're on top of their financial reporting in terms of the district's finances. So that was our efforts at the Sand District meeting. At the finance meeting, we did start to look at Prop 218s, and we had a selection of Prop 218 examples. Some of them were from Cambria Community Services District. There were a couple others that were presented for us to look at. We commented on the different City of Port Hueneme is another one. Overall, I think our thought was that the Cambria one was fairly good and fairly neutral in what it was trying to achieve. There was a couple of things that the others had that looked good that we might add in. But overall, I think the Cambria example looked pretty good. One of the things that was not in the Cambria materials was that, and some of the other jurisdictions had picked up on, was that the notice of the protest vote had to be mailed at least 45 days before the date for the public hearing. And I think we were concerned that
we wanted that in ours.
Setting a time certain was a good thing to do. So if we did adopt in substance the Cambria position, that we would like to have that timeliness added in. But other than that, it looked fairly good.
I think we left it at that was our report, and then it would be what we recommend, and it would be typed up with those additional changes and with a proper where it said should say Oceano Community Service District, and then it would be brought to the board. But this is our report, so then and so why is this coming back? And why do they have a labor negotiator? They're not a union shop, are they?
No. This was for consideration of the steps in the payment. The
step raises.
Salary steps. Salary steps.
Were they already in there, or are they wanting bigger than what the budget was approved at?
They want us to look at adjusting them. And again, I've said that I wouldn't really be able to support that.
I think our board would not be able to support that. We didn't. We weren't able to give salary increases here. So, mm-hmm. What was the consensus of the folks, or is there one, or is it still a closed session item?
That was not the closed session item.
Okay.
That was regular business item, and no action was taken by the board.
Okay. Thank you. That was my questions. Any other questions of Jim? Pamela.
Okay, we did not have the fire meeting. We canceled that. And we had the report from Captain Angelo tonight. So my reports are on what's been happening in the ad hoc committee meeting, which I'm sure Mary will want to know about.
Could you speak up just a little bit, please?
Let me bring the microphone closer. Sorry. One of the things we were looking at was the Charter Cable PEG rebate, and we found out through Raphael's efforts that there will be they're doing an audit for cable in our area, and yes, there is money, but we don't know how much. It will be coming to us next year in 2010. So there will be, we have 800 connections apparently in our area. So there will be money coming to us from that. We have been getting into fire hydrants, and in particular, private fire hydrants. I did not know that there were private fire hydrants that are really, they're not metered. There's no water meter connected with these hydrants. And we actually provide the water to these. We provide them 2 years, but it seems that the hydrants are kind of, we didn't think about those when maybe they need to be included in the rate study. So we're looking at that. Other communities charge for fire hydrants, and I think Phil was the one that brought this up. He said the Christie family, where we wheel water to them, they have a fire hydrant charge of so much a month. So here we're doing work for private meters that don't ever get a charge because they have, or private hydrants that don't get a charge because they have no meters. Then we're doing work for all the community, and there really is nothing to catch us up with the costs that we incur in exercising those hydrants. So we will be coming back to the board with maybe some ideas. The other thing that's coming, as we saw.
Can I just get clarification on those 196? Are they all on private property? And what percentage would you say are on public property? Because we can't charge ourselves to exercise a hydrant, you know. So, but how many are on private property that we maintain them on private property?
There are only about four of those. The rest are public property. But apparently that's not as captured as a part of our monthly water fee. So the fire hydrants have not been, they've been exercised and that work has been done, but it's not captured under part of our water billing.
But they don't go on, so if they're not using the water, then they probably don't expend a lot of water. But I just want to know about how much is it to exercise or maintain per year? So what would be the fee? Because when I checked into the fees in Grover Beach and other areas, right, mm-hmm. they varied, but they ran about $30 to $50 a year.
That's what we're seeing with other agencies.
So we would be looking at about $200 a year?
It depends on where the hydrant is, yes. Okay. But it would be a minimal amount, but it's something we probably should capture because we are liable if we do not provide or have that water available.
Yeah.
So it's the maintenance part, and there's a 16 item list that they do to exercise a fire hydrant. I did not have a clue. Right. I mean, it is exercised for the rest of us.
But we can't charge ourselves to maintain our fire hydrants.
Yeah, don't put another thing on our water bill.
You know, come on now.
So what do you do then to when?
We own the water company. We own the fire department. We don't charge ourselves to maintain our equipment. I don't know. You know, you're the guys of the ad.
Okay. We'll come back to you with what they're saying here and what other cities are doing.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing that has been a topic of discussion is the fire sprinklers. And the fire sprinklers are a requirement now for anything built in the district that's over 1,000 square feet. There are various ways of providing for those fire sprinklers. Often there is, and we'll have to come back to you with the three different ways. In one, you never measure the water that goes to the fire sprinklers. So there's a detector, but you don't measure it. So there are lots of questions that we're going to bring to the fire. I think we'll come to the next fire committee. And this is something that Phil provided from his Waterworks magazine, the three options and what they're using. We're also finding that fire sprinklers have to have a specialized meter that actually isn't available yet. It's magnetic. It's a magnetic meter that they use for just fire sprinklers. So there are a lot of things that this new requirement from the fire department has brought some issues to the fore.
I have a question on that panel,
yeah,
if you don't mind. The fire sprinkler, you say there's a charge, not for putting them in, but a charge for the water they use?
No, there's no charge for the water they use.
Okay, and you're wanting to charge for the water they use?
I don't know how we're going to handle it.
I mean, do they use water other than if there's a fire?
No, they don't.
Well,
they don't.
I mean,
not in my house.
Well, I mean, that's what I don't understand. I'm sorry, maybe I am crazy, but
on commercial fire sprinkler systems, not residential,
yeah,
commercial, there's at the what we call an OS&Y. It's the big arch with the two stems sticking out.
Yeah.
There's typically a meter in the middle of that that will detect any water coming through and does for any. Even
usage.
When they initially test a system or charge a system.
Captain Angelo's right, because the old 5/8 meter is probably no longer adequate for residential service, and people are going to have to put in an even larger water meter to allow for the potential for fire flow. So.
Then there is a question from us about what do you do when people don't pay their bills and the water is turned off. That's going to be a problem. And if they do put in Wise, they do put in a separate one and a metered one. So there are options that other agencies are looking at, and that's a question.
Yeah.
We don't want to have the liability out there not supplying people with water. But if they're not paying their bill, what do you do with that? It's another question.
I would make sure my bill's paid. I don't know your answer to that one.
And we'll be bringing that to the fire committee, because I want you to be able to look at those kinds of things and the chiefs and decide what they're doing in the other communities again. The fog program we're looking at, that's the fats, oils, and grease. We have 16 to 20 accounts. Those accounts are being charged $20 six times a year, and it looks like we're expending $12,500 a year on maintaining those. So it's something that we put into place not knowing how much it would cost, and it's costing much more than we expected. And these are commercial businesses, restaurants, and other places that have food service. So this is something we need to capture really soon.
And we have to have the fog.
It's mandatory, yes. So there's some things to look in with the fog group, and we need to do that quickly. Also the sanitary district collection of the payments from people for the sanitary district, We're being paid to collect all of those monies for the sanitary district, 821 agendas. Whether that right now people are getting agendas sent out to them free. There is a cost to that, whether it's by postage. I think we only do it by mail out to people, but there is a cost to that, so there may be some options there. We can email it and charge people less, put it in the mail and charge them more, have it available on the website, and people could download it on their own. But that's something that we're doing right now. The other things we're looking at are apparently our fees for our equipment. When we bill people for the actual cost that it requires for things to be repaired or replaced or put in, we're billing them $20 an hour for a backhoe. Nobody can get a backhoe at $20 an hour. We do have to increase our rates for those, and that really should happen immediately because we're going with the actual costs on many of these things. So we're finding that probably similar to the sewer fees about putting in sewers and putting in sewer lines that went back to 1984, I think some of these charges and things are going back that far and need to be addressed and need to be addressed immediately. We're just leaving money out there. We're not capturing what we need to do for our district here. So those are the kinds of things we'll be looking at. We'll be making the list for you and giving you our findings.
Are there any questions for Pamela? Okay, Mary?
We started to schedule a water and sewer committee, but Jim and I did meet, and one staff person, not to, do overkill on staffing hours. So we had one meeting, I think it was on 10/19. That's what my agenda says. We came up with a couple of recommendations. It was brought to the body. It was put on the corner of the desk until the ad hoc committee came back with their recommendations and what they were doing. We were going to schedule another meeting for the second bit of things, though, that we think that we can capture significant dollars on because of the fees not being raised over the many years. I would request that, I don't know if the ad hoc committee has done this, but whatever committee this falls under, I would like somebody to take a look at the Altrex machine and the cost that it's costing us each month.
Excuse
that
me?
Is a purchase.
What's an Altrex machine?
It's a copier.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
The district owns the Altrex machine. I see it to be the overtures and the maintenance contract is exorbitantly high for that type of machine. So if somebody could take a look at that. Also take a look at the Pitney Bowes account when it comes to expenditures. Pitney Bowes is not a cost-effective system, in my humble opinion. So,
do you think that's something we could ask the general manager to do? As opposed to
us? Water and sewer, ad hoc admin is part of water and sewer, So we were hoping to get to that, but the ad hoc committee shot off in six different directions, and we can't risk wasting staff money and time holding staff here till 10 o'clock at night, 3-4 staff members. I'm not going to do that, so I would just as soon wait for that committee to decide what they are going to do and go from there. But I do know that the ad hoc committee does have 3-4 staff here each meeting during the week, and that is very, very costly. So if you could just maybe look at those two other areas of expenses, I'd appreciate it.
Any questions for Mary from the board? Any questions from the public?
Yes, I think my questions will be for you, Barbara Lynn Hill Oceano. I understand that the ad hoc committee stays. It's the sacred cow here. I would like, as a president, you to give them at least some limitations or parameters. I did review the tape. If I'm not mistaken, my ears don't fail me. There was not going to be staff there. I think it was you that said, and you understand staff won't be there. I also think on another time, when you were asked to give them some kind of guidance, and maybe relook at those tapes, or change your views if staff is going to be there, and they can just go hog wild.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. Will you please take us into that, Alex?
I request a 5-minute break before closed session.
All right. Why don't we put it into closed session and then you can do your break?
Sure. So the announcement would be this would be item 12A, a conference with legal counsel, potential litigation, a closed session with district legal counsel pursuant to government code section 54956.9C to consider whether to initiate litigation.
Okay. Ready? Okay, we're back from closed session. Alex?
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 12A, a closed session with district legal counsel pursuant to government code section 54956.9C to consider whether to initiate litigation, the board declined to undertake litigation at this time.
We're on item 13, general managers. Items for discussion.
Okay. Item A on the agenda, it's an update regarding.
Could you speak to your microphone, sir? I'm sorry.
In regard to item 13A, update regarding the gentleman's agreement, we met in Pismo again and we talked about everything from the seawater intrusion to a letter. The seawater intrusion, it seems that the gentlemen are concerned that they want to make sure that the readings that they're getting from the wells are accurate beyond a doubt.
Okay.
And I was there and I commented, test and make sure that it's this seawater intrusion is as accurate as they think it is. With that, we didn't write it, but it's seen so many drafts. The last one, there was two misspelled words, and the mayor's name was spelled wrong. There's this letter that they drafted, and they want to send it to the county. I was informed this evening that our president would also like to, you know, sign the letter, so we'll be sure that, you know, she's added.
Well, since the other mayors are, I think it's appropriate.
I think... I didn't draft it, but I think that they just wrote it that way because we were at the meeting. I don't know. And we discussed that we changed it, the idea that the county make available between 1,500 to 2,500 acre feet of water. And that's what the letter says.
Okay.
Item B, update regarding the Wallace Group. I went to the Wallace Group last Thursday. We talked about a lot of stuff. The reason they weren't here this evening was, one, to save money. Two, we had a pretty full agenda. And because I was going to report, I figured we could save the public money and not invite them. What we found out was, I don't know how it happened, but here I have a contract that was dated October 1 of 2008. And it's from the Honorable Steve that works for John Wallace. and my predecessor was supposed to sign it. It's a contract regarding the Tuck Field contract. It was never signed. So we're going to take care of that. And I stressed with John that we want as few, if there's a reason, that's fine. But otherwise, you know, we don't want to just run the meter and have people come if they don't have any reports or anything like that. And he understood. Item D, an update regarding the response.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
Sure, go ahead, anytime.
So, in defense of the past GM, maybe he wasn't here at that time. In defense of the past GM, maybe he wasn't here or something like that. So you're going to get the contract signed and post-dated to when it was supposed to be signed?
No, that I don't know. I was going to ask the legal counsel. I was going to sign it and send it off, but I'm not real comfortable post-dating it.
Okay. I would like to look at that contract.
To the interim general manager to arrange for signatures. I'm not sure what happened to it after that, but it did not get signed.
And the contract is for the period.
It's for the water
study.
Rate study, and so the contract has not been has not been carried out. It was never signed, and while looking through some files and trying to figure out some of the things having to do with the saltwater intrusion and our water supply, the Steve Tanaka. Uncovered the fact that this had occurred and got in touch with me and spoke with Raphael and has been pursuing trying to get us back on track with that. Because okay. The rates do need to be adjusted. They're sorely out of date.
When I was saying rates, I wasn't talking about the water rates. I was talking about the other the other oddball rates in there.
They are sorely out of date.
Well, I hate to take up more time, but so, since we can't do a rate increase till the audit for the year, then the next audit to be done is in. Does it really make sense to have them on, to do that contract? I mean, we've already committed to the contract, so we got to move forward. But aren't we at least one audit behind from them actually executing a rate program?
I don't think so.
I don't think there's any necessary tie between completing the financial statement audits and doing the rate study. I don't see how those are tied together, but maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I was under the impression, and please, I always look for people to correct me, but that we couldn't do a rate study without a current audit.
That was also my impression.
I'm not aware of that.
Last one.
When it was commissioned a year ago, we didn't have a current audit at that time.
And when Steve came and presented, I think he verified that as well in his comments. Yes, we do have to have a current audit.
I will check with him, but I do not believe that's the case. You do need to make sure you have good numbers with regard to what your costs and revenues are in the water department, but that's a different function from your financial statement audit.
So, Madam President, I'd ask us that we could get accurate guidance on this.
Please.
Do we need a current audit to move forward on the rate study?
Please find that out.
Because if we have them on retainer and we're nowhere near
better. And basically, to sum it up, it says that, you know, we would comply with the grand jury's request and that the grand jury wanted us to get involved. They had recommendation number 2 with the center, and we told them that normally what happens is in January of the year, new committee assignments are, you know, passed out and stuff, and we would ask at that time if the board would want to participate on the committee. But we'll make sure that the board sees the letter, okay? And then,
but please send it, because I don't want any more phone calls.
All right. And then last but not least, I always like to end on a bit of good news. And E is very good. It's an update regarding the Prop 1 loan securitization. And Alex also received the email today. I have an email dated today, this afternoon at 12:58 to be exact. And basically, in essence, the time on behalf of the core proposition financing. They're thanking us and everything, and they're saying that the bonds were sold and that we will collect $68,666. And the economist in me says, what's the payoff? The best part is it says that 50% of your Proposition A1 receivable amount will be distributed by January 15th of 2010. And the other 50% sometime in May.
Okay. All right.
That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. We just have a couple of minutes left here. Board member items for discussion. Mary?
Just that the next, I request that the insurance, the district insurance, be put on the agenda at the next board meeting, yeah. And that we get a clear definition of where we're insured and where we're not, and you know.
Thank you. Jim? Thank you.
So we get our money from the loan securitization half in January and half in May. Boy, yes, am I not surprised.
But we're getting it.
That's all.
Pamela?
Nothing.
I have nothing either. Any public comment? Any written communications received after the agenda was prepared? Well, I think we've gone over those already.
Just this one here, this comment, the email today.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I read it to the group.
All right, any public comment? Any more?